the lesson today is the Grand Perfumier or Perfumier. The Grand Perfumier. God is an expert in creating perfume compositions. If you're like me, you come to this church because you want to. That's the bottom line. Why do I come? Because I want to. And I want to because I get something out of it. Right? Gene is taught that people are led by their desires. I desire to come here because I get something out of it. One of the things I get out of it is smelling a sweet savor. Something that I enjoy experiencing is the sweet savor of the saints at this church. A sweet savor, you could rename it a soothing aroma. You could name it a fragrant aroma. You could name it encouragement. You could name it edification. A sweet smelling aroma. That's what I get out of this church. And I want to be clear, this is not coming from me. It's coming from you. It's coming from you. And I really feel like the Lord laid this on my heart. When Penny contacted me on Friday, I was thinking about heading in a different direction, but the Lord led me here. The sweet savor I experience in this church is coming from you. And when I say you, I'm defining the people who are streaming. Streaming for me is such a wonderful thing. Of course, I spend a lot of time in that room doing the streaming. But streaming, in my view, is a way for us to have a larger church family. I will tell you, you all probably realize this, that there are streamers out there. We don't know who they are. That computer system just gives us a number of connection points that we think is more or less accurate. We don't know who they are, but I do know who some of them probably are. And I feel that those streamers, without us knowing, they're praying for us. They're praying for us. They're part of us here. And their presence, to me, that number is a sweet smelling savor. To me, it is an encouragement to know that there are people maybe across the nation. The internet is just that big internet between us and them. Don't know. But they care enough and find enough benefit to tune in. So when I say you are a sweet smelling aroma, I mean also the streamers. And what all of the aroma originates from is the Christ in us. The Christ in us. So the first verse that I wanted to talk about, the aroma that you all give off is the Christ in you that you're yielded to give off. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Christ in us, it's giving off a sweet smelling aroma in this church is what I'm talking about. It's giving off a sweet smelling aroma to each other. It's the Christ in us. We come, the good things that we get out of coming here week after week, that's the aroma of the Christ in us. Who is the whom in that verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery, Christ in us. The riches of the glory, those are good things. Riches, good things. Glory, good things. Who is the whom? We read earlier in that chapter in verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. That's the whom to whom God would make known. That's us, the faithful the saints. So what is that? To the saints and faithful brethren. Now, this is a little bit of an offshoot, but I have in my notes in my Bible that why did Paul make a distinction or say both? Saints and faithful brethren. We're saints. That's never going to change because it's the Christ in us. Are we always faithful? No, But we are saints. And so I think Paul is saying saints and the faithful. Here we have people coming to church. We are being faithful. It's a Christ in us that does it, not us. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, the same could be said about this church. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, I don't have to wonder about the folks in this audience. What is their faith life like? I know because I see it. And there's an aroma, a sweet savor. We build each other up. Okay, in verse 26, the verse before the one we read, again, the one we read, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the glory of this mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It will never go away. I think at times we see more of it than we do at other times. The Christ in us is there. It is there. We may not see it, but it is there. And there's an aroma that I experience in coming to this church that I appreciate. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. Paul's talking about the Old Testament, but now is made manifest in his saints. That's us. That's us. The aroma, the sweet smelling savor. Some perfumes or colognes smell good to one person, but not to another. Some do not smell at all the same from one person to another. I have a friend and she has this perfume. We go to lunch and I love it, love it. I bought it for myself. And Dan said, what's new about you? Well, I guess I use something, a perfume. Well, no, you don't need to do that again. So it doesn't work on me. It works on her. I had a secretary for about 10 years and she wasn't very nice. Maybe that colors my perspective, but for 5 of the 10 years, she would wear this perfume every few days that was horrible. It smelled like burning sauerkraut. And so I was just, but of course I wasn't going to say anything, but she sat outside my office in a cubicle. I would close my door. I would call her rather than just walking outside my door to talk to her, to ask for this project or that, because the smell was terrible. That's the opposite of what we have here. We have a sweet smelling savor. And the point I want to bring out is that savor is something the Lord has worked in us. The Lord has worked the Christ in us to reveal itself to the others in this church and others elsewhere. Bruce talked about witnessing to people. John talked about witnessing to his friend, not just in this church, but that sweet smelling savor. It goes beyond us and it is a benefit to those around us. But that savor is, it's good. It's not burning sauerkraut or something that's offensive. So how is it good? How does God grow the Christ in us that it gives a sweet smelling savor to our brothers and sisters? Because he knows. He knows what we all need. Those experiences we have in life, the good times, the hard times, the length, the breadth, the height, the width, all of those God allows. He's building a savor in our lives, the Christ in us, that unique smell, that unique savor that we then give off to others. Those experiences that we have may help someone else. I cannot tell you the number of times I have come into this church in need, and I'm pretty private. I don't really say everything that's going on in my life. So no one would know that I have a particular need, a particular mindset, a particular trial, a particular perspective. But I come to this church and that message that Penny gave, that Frankie gave, that Jean gave, or that others I listened to gave, sometimes that is what we say in the law is on point. It's exactly what I needed. They never knew that. That's got to be God. That's got to be God. That is God working a savor in those yielded hearts that gives us a benefit. That savor is the Christ in us. So we want to have yielded open hearts, and we have a yielded open hearted church here. And in the effect of that is Christ is making a sweet savor from us to other people. It's the Christ in us, and it benefits. The sweet savor can be the beautiful voices that sing the choruses, the beautiful voices who maybe they just think, I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing my obligation. There's no one else here to lead the singing. You know what? God knows. And that heart is yielded and doing what the Lord has called that person to do. The beautiful aroma of those choruses that they're sung in. I remember Kathy Mooneyhan. I knew I was forgetting someone. We want to pray for her too. Okay. Kathy has a sweet smelling savor. Rod had a sweet smelling savor. These people, we want to pray for Kathy. She's on an extended trip. So God brings experiences to each one of us, grows each one of us in a way that, of course, benefits us, but benefits our church family. And this sweet savor, only a master perfumier, a master perfumer, only a master could do that. Only a master could take a small group of people, work experiences in their lives, bring them together, and those experiences would help other people. Penny, again, does that for me. Jean, everyone does, but speaks encouraging words of grace. Recently, Penny was expounding in a Sunday school lesson about a thing that she had in herself she wasn't particularly delighted in. She was so forthright and honest about her struggle in that gave me such comfort, because I too struggle with certain things, and that gave me such comfort. And so I thought, you know, how does God know? God knows, and he's bringing out a sweet savor. Actions are well-pleasing and acceptable to God. Our actions bring him a sweet savor. He loves that savor. In the New Testament, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, believers through their lives and witnesses are described as giving a sweet savor of Christ unto God. And here's the verse. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. We are a sweet savor of Christ to God. God is smelling the sweet savor of the Christ in us as we yield to that life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. This tells us that the gifts from the Philippians were an odor of a sweet smell to Paul. They were acceptable and pleasing to God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we read, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. That whole premise, concept of a sweet smelling savor being the outgrowth of the Christ in us, our example, our great example is Christ. He did that. That life he lived on earth, it gave a sweet smelling savor to those who loved him. The man, the apostle who sat or laid his head on Jesus's breast, sweet smelling savor. Mary and Martha, one more than the other, experienced the sweet smelling savor of Christ's life. Lazarus, somewhere I was just hearing about Lazarus. Lazarus, that whole story, God pulled out every bit of glory from that story by letting Lazarus pass away and then Christ raising Lazarus from the dead. A sweet smelling savor from that act. That's what we have. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the thing that struck me of this is that God, through Christ, gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice, Christ did, to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing for us. He knew that his sacrifice, his offering on the cross, would be a sweet-smelling savor to God. We also see this concept in the Old Testament. It especially discusses the sweet savor given by certain things to God. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, Noah offered a sacrifice, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. The Lord smelled a sweet savor from that sacrifice. That was a picture of the great capital S sacrifice to come in Christ. Those Old Testament types and shadows, a sweet savor, even back then. In Leviticus, we read of the burnt offerings. The Grace and Glory, Dr. Vicki Moots has commentary on the burnt offerings, the one that gives a sweet savor or pleasing aroma to the Lord. Those burnt offerings, those were a picture of what we now experience with the Christ in us. The offering of the first fruits, that was also Leviticus, Exodus, the burning of the ram and the priestly consecration offerings are a sweet savor. Back then it was a picture. Now, in my life, it's a reality. I get sweet savors from coming to this church. And I know it's the Christ in us. Yielding to the Christ in us is a sweet savor unto God. So here we are, a little group of believers, and yet God has worked in us as yielded vessels to give out the sweet aroma of the Christ in us, in a way that's beneficial and enjoyable to each other. God is the grand perfumer. It's not us. We don't even see how it works. We don't know how it works. We can't anticipate how it works. We yield. We open up our hearts to Christ. We read his word. We study his love. We turn to him in trials. That's what it means to yield to Christ, to yield to God. And then the outgrowth of that isn't just for our benefit. It's for the benefit of those around us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." This verse to me says, if I'm smelling a sweet savor from someone, if I'm giving out a sweet savor, that is a supernatural work. It is not of the natural person. It is not of the old creation. It is a natural or supernatural thing. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It's not of me. It's of God. It's the Christ in me. That's what Christ does. The natural man isn't going to receive the spiritual things, but we have a spiritual man, and that spiritual man longs to have them and experience them and give them out to others. So how do we keep giving off a good scent? How do you all keep benefiting me? How do you all keep bringing something wonderful to me every Sunday? Sunday in and Sunday out. Wednesday in, Wednesday out. Thursday, Bible study. Friday, Bible study. Other Bible studies. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Some verses that tell us that. The main verse here is the verse that I really love. But we're going to look at some other verses. But it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." I love that verse. There's so many reasons we all should love that verse. Open face, beholding as in a glass. That's to contrast with the veil that was over Moses' face, right? The Old Testament, the symbol there, one of the prominent figures is Moses representing the law and the veil, because there was a separation. But the law, all of it was separating, separating, separating. Now in the New Testament, Paul talks to us about an open face. The veil is gone. The law is gone. The law has been fulfilled in Christ. The veil is gone. We look with open face. What does that mean to me? It means in the middle of the night when I wake up with a problem and I turn to the Lord, that's an open face. I don't have to do a sacrifice so that the Lord will listen to me. I don't have to clean myself up so that the Lord will listen to me. I don't have to do anything. I can turn right to him and believe he hears me. He sees the Christ in me. He's satisfied with that Christ in me. He hears me. With open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. For a long time, I thought, if I'm going to grow spiritually, I'm going to have to put myself on a particular regimen to be reading the Bible or doing XYZ for God or this or that. No, study the glory of the Lord, and that sweet aroma will happen naturally. We don't have to have a regimen. We don't earn it. We don't do it. We don't live life per the law and succeed in following the law, and therefore we grow spiritually. That's not how it works. In fact, the dependence of a saint who turns his sin over to the Lord is the way to have a sweet-smelling savor. We behold with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, bit by bit by bit. In verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Our sufficiency is of God. Verse 6, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law killeth." Keeping the law killeth. Keeping a set of rules and regulations killeth. but the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit of grace, the Spirit that believes we're forgiven, the Spirit who believes the Lord loves us more than we could ever know. So just love Him and yield and open our hearts to what He would have. We believers who do not see through a veil are not like the unbelieving Jews. That's what Paul is trying to bring out with that verse 18. We with open face beholding as in a glass, no more veil, no more law. Nothing separates us from communion with God. Nothing separates us from spending time in the Word. Nothing separates us from that. It is right there. The old covenant of the law was centered on Moses, whose face was hidden behind a veil. Verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Paul's talking about the unbelieving Jew, still following the law. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that gets us to that verse 18. So we yield, we open our hearts, we take down the, what I guess you could use an analogy that the veil in our lives could be anything. Guilt over sin, unbelief, the flesh, who just doesn't want to study God's word, wants to do something else. All those things, they're not a veil that keeps us from the Lord. They're a veil that He has conquered. So we turn to Him. You don't feel like walking with the Lord today? Turn to Him. Tell Him that. Tell Him that, and He will give you strength to walk with Him. And the net outflow of that is going to be a sweet-smelling savor in this church. I want to end with Psalm chapter 63, verses 3 and 4. This is the Old Testament. It's not about Moses, of course. It's about David. But David says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. His lips are praising thee because of God's loving kindness. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up mine hands in thy name. He is enamored with God's loving kindness. The word is the loving kindness right in our house that we can look at. We can have it in our car. We can have it at our work. We could have it anywhere. It is the story of His loving kindness. And when we yield to that and we open our hearts to it and we see what, we just look at the Lord, we study Him, we study Christ, His sacrifice, we will have a sweet-smelling aroma. And there is that in this church. And so I'm thankful today for that sweet-smelling aroma. I'm thankful today that even though so many are sick, that we are able to continue on with the service. And so with that, let's stand and have a closing prayer. And I'll have Bruce give the closing prayer.